time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday the 15th of November 2014. Island Life is Waiheke Radio's weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you with the support of the Humble Pie Village Butchery at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua, every Saturday morning from 10 till noon. On Saturday the 15th of November, Brent Simpson joined the Island Life team. He talked to Dawn Jeffries from the Waiheke Resources Trust, Denise Whitford from the Waiheke Walking Festival, and he talked with Warwick Broadhead about the launch of his theatre series based on the TV program Monkey.
Yes, you listen to Island Life here on Waiheke Radio, and our first guest for this morning is Dawn Jeffries from the Waiheke Waste Resource Trust, and her kids, of course, seem to be regulars on the show. Hello, kids. There you go. You've one opportunity.
Hi.
There you go.
It's me, Poppy.
Oh, Poppy.
My mum and me are trying to save Planet and Flynn, so... Congratulations.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Yo, I'm Flynn.
Yep, Flynn, there you go. That's a little bit of that. Hello, Dawn. Can you hear yourself?
Yep. Well, good morning, Waiheke.
Yes, good morning. So, Dawn, you've been up to quite a bit around the island in your relatively newish, I suppose, position as the coordinator of the trust. I mean, actually, not that new, I suppose.
In terms of their history, pretty new.
Yeah.
I joined the Waiheke Resources Trust last July.
Oh, yeah.
So, as their manager.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just over a year I've been with them now.
Cool.
Yeah.
And lots of new initiatives have coming out of the trust, which seemed to kind of plateau a little bit after some of its publicized battles with the thing. And then it kind of sort of seemed to sort of quiet down a bit. But now is really back in the fore of island activities, probably thanks to yourself, including the one that I'm most interested in and have been hearing a lot about, and having been an island resident myself for about 13 years now, have similarly been wondering, when are we going to clean up that goddamn creek?
Yeah, exactly. And that's where we were at, and the trustees just kind of just got really frustrated, really, that the stream has been polluted for so long and nothing's been done, nobody's doing anything about it. So they thought, well, it's time and we're gonna do it.
So we are talking, just to remind people, that there are presumably lots of creeks on the island, but we're talking mostly about the, pretty much only about the creek in Little Onaroa, which those of you who have kids or who frequent this beach will know is has had for many years now warning signs about not going into the, not touching or drinking at least any of the water there. Now, what's the primary kind of problem with this creek that we can, and what can we reasonably do about it?
There's lots we can do. We haven't even started.
Yeah.
So it's called... It's called, we're calling it Project Little Onaroa, and it got off the ground a couple of months ago. We started by having a public meeting to invite the locals around the catchment and anybody else to come and have a voice about how they feel about it and share some stories, and that went really well. And We filmed it and made a little clip, which some of you may have seen at the theatre. And then our second meeting, we invited a guy called Simon Grant, and he's from the Twin Streams Project in West Auckland. And they've been cleaning up about 50 k's of streams over there.
Oh, okay.
So they're really expert at this. So it was great to get him over, took him for a walk up the stream. We're pretty lucky, a few of the private... landowners are really on board and let us walk up their property.
Right.
And then in the evening, Simon talked to the community about what they've been doing and how he feels about our stream and what condition it's in and what we can do.
Yeah.
And then we had our third meeting last week and we invited a lovely chap, Caleb Clark, who's works for Morpham, which is a group that do stream work, and he had written a report called the Hauraki Gulf Three Waters. And so he's got quite a lot of detailed knowledge. He did a really detailed stream walk and took a lot of information. And so it was great to hear him and talk to him and just hear actually about all the actual life that is in the stream.
And is this work that he'd actually done on that particular stream? What's the name of that stream? Does it have a proper name?
It does.
Apart from the Little Lonora. We sometimes call it the Cholera Creek, where I come from.
It does. And I don't have that name with me at the moment.
Okay. We'll find out, actually. We used to give it some awful names. Cholera Creek. What else? Campylobacteria Creek.
Yeah, like yourself. I've been on the island a while, and I used to live very close.
That's the...
that's the kids. And I would take my kids there very regularly. That was our closest playground and beach.
Yes, one of the more popular beaches for kids. It's always been...
And for many years there was no sign there.
Yeah.
But we all knew because we'd heard about our friends' kids that had been playing in the stream and got awfully sick. So we knew, and I'd find myself yelling out to tourists, don't go in the stream, get your kids out. And then they put the sign up. What we are doing at the moment is gathering information and engagement from the community, letting the community know that we're doing this, hearing stories about people's experiences with the stream, just getting together regularly and educating ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So our next meeting will be... on the Saturday, the 7th of December, and we're going to head down to the wetland restoration area just below the high school.
Down by the keyhole there.
And Tony King Turner, he's going to take us for a guided walk through the wetland and the stream. And we're going to hear about wetland restoration and what kind of plants you should be planting.
So what, like, I mean, what, presumably, I suppose, you know, anecdotally over the years, it's the condition of the creek has been blamed on faulty septic tanks that are further up, up the valley. So that comes down to a lot of private house owners, you know, and replacing or fixing a septic tank is probably not one of the cheaper things that you could have happen to your house on the island. So how do you think as a community we can support people who may or may not have the wherewithal to actually fix what's broken and is actually causing problems downstream? I mean, is there anything sort of legally that we could do, or is it just a matter of sort of, helping them out with money, or is that the main problem with the creek?
Well, there's actually a lot of problems.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one of them is obviously for septic tanks not working properly, but a big part of that is actually education. What do I do to make my septic tank work properly?
Right.
And it's not actually the human waste that stops a septic tank working.
Oh,
it's actually the large volumes of water that pass through it.
Right.
So it's about understanding how the system works. It's about starting with the waste hierarchy, which is reduce.
Yeah.
So we've got to reduce the amount of water that we're using. And I think in general we're pretty good at that because, we're so dependent on the rain for our water. But there's still more that we can do.
Right.
So what we're doing at the moment is gathering a lot of tools that can help the homeowner with reducing the amount of water that they use, and information on septic tank care, and also connecting with the septic tank care people on the island, and getting them on board, and seeing if we can get discounts, if we can get free septic advisory people, just kind of making it easy for people, doing all that middle ground work, and providing the information. But as far as, you know, there's somebody that doesn't have the money, he's got a septic tank that's not working properly, I'm also talking to the local board and council about that and what can be done to support those people, whether it's a rates rebate or something along those lines. So the local board have been really supportive of the project.
Yeah.
We've had numerous meetings with them. They'd really like this to be successful as well.
Yeah.
And we've also been meeting with few of the guys from Auckland Council, and they're also gathering information as well. So we're working together for a common goal, which is fantastic. Yeah.
Well, that sounds awesome. I mean, it sounds like we might actually, finally get some traction going on this and looking at some of the problems and being able to address them all the way along the creek would be great for. Yeah, especially for those of us with small children who frequent this area quite a bit.
The other thing is that there is a plan to redevelop the playground.
Oh, yeah.
And so obviously we don't want that to happen until gathered information and have a plan for the lower part of the stream.
Yeah.
So the local board have agreed that they're going to put that on hold until we've got a plan and that we can integrate the two together, that they need to be looked at together rather than separately. So,
That's good, because it's becoming quite a, over the summer months, it's quite a congested little space down there.
It is, and that's another issue. In the winter we've got stormwater issues where it's gushing through and doing wetland restoration, that would hinder that kind of project.
Yeah.
So we need to look at ways to slow water down. And then in the summertime we've got it drying up and that water's not flowing. And then you've got a whole lot of ducks shitting. To put it frankly. So what do we do about that? But I know eels are really good at helping with the duck population, so that's one idea
eels.
I've got.
You ought to support more eels, actually.
But at the moment we don't have a plan. We're gathering, we've got ideas, but it's all just talking and gathering information at the moment. So if anybody would like to talk to me about it, I'd love to listen to you. You can give me a call on 9022 or you can email me on dawn@wrt.org.nz. That's one of the projects that we're doing at the moment. Moving on to another project, it's the Household Food Waste Reduction Project, which is called Kai Conscious Waiheke, which I think the community may know a little bit about already because we've been working with Blackpool over the last year, supporting them to reduce their household food waste. So it's about awareness, basically. That's where we start. The statistics tell us that 30% of food that people are buying is ending up in the rubbish bin.
Wow.
So just imagine how much money you could save over a year on your grocery bill.
Yeah.
And it's not just about the family's budget.
Yeah.
Think about the cost to produce that food
from
where it's grown to actually getting to your table.
Yeah.
And then if that food goes in the rubbish bin, then there's another environmental cost because it's going to – anything in your rubbish bin is going to landfill, which is going to cause methane gases.
Yeah.
So it's about making people aware – of how much food they're wasting, and then making sure, secondly, it doesn't go in the rubbish bin.
Yeah.
And so where is it going to go?
Yeah.
Composting.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
a wonderful natural resource which can support your garden and which is going to support food resilience on the island. So we're also helping with free composting courses, with getting people set up with compost at home. I mean, Waiheke, the large part of the population is really aware and they are composting and they are growing food, but there's still some people that, put their food waste in the rubbish bin.
That's another good – so when we – earlier as we talked about coming on the show, you'd also mentioned that you'd been over to Barrier.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got anything –
island hopping yesterday. Yep, I flew over.
Did you go as a Waste Resource Trust representative?
I did. Yeah, I went over. I was asked to go over by the Auckland Council Waste Management team to support the guys over there who are just setting up their waste minimisation education program, and in particularly our zero waste events.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something that we do really well here in Waiheke. We've got a great zero waste program, which was developed through dealing with the waste at the Onatangi Beach Races.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Thanks to Charlotte Parks, who's done a great job over the years. I flew over. Very small plane, very one day, very nervous.
Very nerve-wracking.
But once I got there, it was like, oh, wow, yes, I remember this place. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I spent the day with a lovely woman, Joanne, who runs Enviro Kiwi, and I did a workshop for a couple of hours with a whole lot of people from the community who are involved with events, and talked about how they can manage the waste at events.
Do they have, quite a few events over there? I mean,
they do. They have about 20 over the year, small to large.
Yeah.
They've had it pretty good over there. They don't pay for any waste disposal.
Don't they? They have their own landfill?
A landfill. Yeah. So they have a rubbish collection once a fortnight, and their landfill's collected, and also paper and cardboard.
Right.
But bottles are not collected, but they have little stations along off the side of the road, quite a few around the island, where you take your bottles and you actually separate them into the different colour types.
Right. Yep.
But there's no incentive to do that. It costs people to do it, unless they're doing it on the way.
Right.
So unfortunately, a lot of people over there are putting the bottles into their bag that's going to landfill. But with the new bylaw that's coming in with waste management, and it's really going user pays.
Right.
And to be honest, I think for the barrier, that's probably the incentive that they need to be more responsible with their waste is just a little bit of that.
Yeah.
So that they're like, oh, well, I don't want to actually fill up that landfill bag because it's costing me. So I'm going to actually go and deposit those bottles free. Yeah.
And I suppose in a couple more minutes, I want to have a chat. With you now, one more thing that I thought maybe I'd get your comment on is we've got the yearly, was it yearly now or the
biannual?
I can't remember inorganic, which is.
Have you had a look around yet?
Oh, a little bit. I mean, it's kind of pissing me off. There's somebody who's actually dumping their own organic rubbish like across the street from my house, just like right on the curb across from my house.
It's not your collection time yet, is it?
I thought it was the whole island.
You don't put it out. They've staggered it. If you put it out too early, you're going to get fined. I know somebody that has already.
And it's not mine. It's just people dumping it. And there's certain things. I was going to talk about this a little bit later. I was going to read the sort of, the criteria about what can or can't go out. But presumably the Waste Resource Trust would have a message about what not to sort of just chuck out. I mean, are things that you see? Do you see things out there you think, oh, God, why is that out there?
I see all these cardboard boxes, and they're actually recyclable. So please recycle them.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a bit of a lazy attitude, really. It's you shouldn't be putting out stuff that can be recycled or that can be reused.
Right.
If you've got a chair, it's one you don't use, you don't want it, don't put it out in the inorganics because it's going to go to landfill. Take it to one of the amazing op shops that we've got here and give somebody else the opportunity to use it or upcycle it.
Yeah.
And that organisation to raise some money for whatever, project that they're funding.
Yeah.
The inorganics is a terrible way of collecting resources.
Yeah.
I was going to say waste.
Yeah.
A contractor comes over, they collect it all in 2 weeks and it all goes directly to landfill.
Yeah.
We're actually bidding for when the contract comes up next year to do the inorganics in the future. Yeah. We won't be doing it like this because it's not a way of recycling.
Yeah.
What we are proposing is to every household will have a voucher.
Yeah, yeah.
And they book in,
yeah.
and our guys come and pick it up on the proposed date. And we do that over a year.
Right.
So the inorganics for Waiheke is spread out and collected over a whole year.
Interesting, yeah.
And it will go back to a resource recovery centre.
Yeah.
And as much of it as possible will be reused, recycled.
Right, that's true.
And the minimum amount would go to landfill.
So when does I have heard that they were going to cancel the inorganic, but you're saying they're actually re-tendering for this and looking at how it might work. And do you think that's something that's do you think there's a good chance of the Waste Resource Trust sort of getting into this space?
Definitely. Very optimistic.
Yeah, well, no, that would be good because I know in the past the trust has offered far more interesting alternatives to these kind of situations than what we've the lump procedures that we've got from Auckland Council. Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see a little bit more smarts go into these kind of
things.
That's
right. And they want to see it too.
Yeah.
because it's right. very costly waste.
Yeah, it must be.
And we don't have a landfill here, which is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
So all of that, it's very expensive to get off the island.
Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah, as opposed to the barrier, they have landfill, and right. it actually costs them to get the recyclables off the island.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So how are we going for time?
Well, pretty much done, because I've got Dawn coming in from the walking festival.
Oh, nice. So, yeah. Can I just mention one more thing? I'm just playing with the idea of doing Junk to Funk next
again.
Year.
Yeah.
Hasn't been done for a few years.
Right.
So I'd love to hear from anybody who's got some ideas yeah. about that,
okay.
who thinks that's a good idea or not,
yeah.
or wants to get involved.
And how? What's the best way to get in touch with you?
Again, 9022
yeah.
or email dawn@wrt.org.nz.
And presumably that's your website as well, wrt.org.nz.
Yeah. yeah, so all our projects are up there.
Right.
Yeah, if you want to have a look, check it out.
All right. Then we can talk about that some other time. Junk to Funk making a return to the island. Yeah, hasn't been. How many times has it skipped? Is it one year or 2 years?
At least two, possibly three.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Oh, that's great.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Dawn, for
Thank
coming
you.
In. And we will speak to you again at some point, I'm sure. I'll get an update on the projects. And like Dawn said, if you want to find out more about what's happening at the Waiheke Waste Resource Trust, it's wrt.org.nz online. Presumably you have a Facebook page as well.
We do. Yeah.
So you can look them up on Facebook. And definitely I would encourage people to get involved in the Creek project if you
check it out on the website
yep.
and subscribe to our monthly newsletter.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And you can go into the draw to win some eco products.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Dawn. You're listening to Island Life here on Waiheke Radio. My name's Brent, and we hopefully will have fairly shortly, we've got Denise Whitfield from the Waiheke Walking Festival will be coming in to talk about the activities in the festival over the coming week or so that it goes on. I guess we'll find out a bit more about that.
Waiheke Radio.
The other big event that's beginning this weekend is the Waiheke Walking Festival, and I have Denise Whitford here, who is the organiser of this rather fine festival, I would say. And she's going to be telling us a little bit about what's going on. Welcome, Denise. You're there?
I am here.
Okay, great. So, your big day today, everything's kicking off, the weather is sort of hit and miss, I suppose.
It's
but
not raining.
It's, at least it's not raining yet.
That's right.
I haven't done the weather yet, but so tell us what we could expect, or what can we expect over the next 9 days of the Walking Festival?
So we kicked off this morning. We've had a lovely opening this morning down at the library with Paura from Piritahi did a lovely blessing, and we've had Mike Lee and the local board open, which was wonderful. And we've kicked off with our first two walks. We've got a dog walk happening at the moment, and we've got a lovely walk with historian Dave Viet around Orfanake happening at the moment. First of 46 walks that take place over the 9 days. So they're really, it's my mantra at the moment. There's something for everyone.
Right. That's interesting, that a perspective that maybe some people might not know about these walks is how the walks, it's not just sort of jumping on a track and going for a little walk around Waiheke, which anyone could do at any time, presumably.
Exactly.
They're sort of accessorized, or like there's the dog thing, or there's Paul Monin. He's and where's that? That's an interesting walk, because he's just been in the news the last couple of days.
Not Paul Monin. Dave Viet.
Why did I come up with that name?
Paul Monin's another wonderful historian on the island.
Okay. But so do a lot of the walks have this kind of another dimension to them, rather than just kind of what's some of the feature walks that we could expect?
We've got some great ones. We've got architecture. We've got some celebrity walks with John Hawkesby, Sir Graham Henry, and Sir Peter Leach are involved.
Yeah, yeah.
Conservation walks. We've got a bunch of kids walks, which are fantastic. Yep. So we've got an awesome event down on Onedoa Beach tomorrow with Christine Wilton, author of Boy on an Island.
Yep.
She's doing a Kids on an Island themed event.
Oh, okay.
And Kiwi Conservation Club, which is the kids of Forest and Bird, are doing a few walks next week, which will be a lot of fun for the kids. What else have we got? We've got olives. We've got lots of wine.
Yep.
plenty of vineyard lunch options either partway through the walks or to celebrate the end. Yeah, there really is something for everyone.
For everyone. And what would what's the longest walk you've got? I'm curious.
We've got a full day walk over to Rotorua Island on Tuesday, which will just be amazing. Today, they are releasing a few kiwi onto the island. Yeah. So that's they've already released a number of threatened species on the island. Yeah. So that will be a wonderful walk. Take the ferry over, bring your picnic lunch.
Wow.
Yeah. And stay the day.
Oh, nice. Mm. So it goes over the two weekends, this weekend and next weekend, and presumably throughout the week as well.
That's right.
There's lots of events. And it's all free, isn't it?
It is.
But presumably you have to book, or do you have to just rock up? Can I?
Please don't rock up.
Please don't rock up. Did you hear that? People don't just rock up. And what would be the easiest way for people who are sort of late and getting, booking walks to get in touch with the Walking Festival and sort of reserve their place? What's the easiest?
Yep. All bookings need to be done online. So you do that through the website, which is www.waihikiwalkingfestival.org.
Yep. Okay.
Absolutely, they're all free, but we do need bookings. We've got a number of our walks have already booked out, and we just do that for health and safety reasons. We can't have too many
people
on the track.
Yep. People who have been walking around the island of late might have seen these posts that are popping up all over the place, and presumably they are related to the festival in some way?
They are. They are Te Arohura is the revealing path, or the path of reveal is the English translation of that, and that is an Auckland Council initiative.
Yeah.
It's Gary Wilton's baby. He's worked very, very hard to make this happen, and it connects the whole of the island in one walkway system across public walkways, roads where necessary, but you can do the whole loop of the island. And the Walking Festival has been really privileged to be able to launch that that loop, Te Arohura, this 9 days.
So technically you could actually walk around the entire island following these posts.
That's right. There's just over 100 kilometres of track and roads that will take you around the island.
How long would that take me?
Well... How fit are you, Brent?
Not that fit. Would I have to camp?
This is stage one of that, and we're hoping that local businesses will get on board and think about creative ways that we can really make this loop work in terms of, low-impact tourism.
Yep.
So it will be about, thinking smartly about accommodation on your own private land, if that links in with Te Arohura, or pickups and drop-offs. We're really wanting local accommodation and food businesses, tourism businesses to get on board and really think about ways that they can make Te Arohura work for them.
Oh, so that's interesting. So they're going to be a fairly permanent feature of the landscape for a while to come?
This is it.
Yeah.
They're in there.
They're in there. Oh, good.
Yeah, they're in there. And, they will... The route may change slightly.
Yeah.
We're hoping that we can get into more private land.
Yeah.
But particularly down the bottom end.
Right.
We're on the road.
Yeah.
But the road's lovely down there.
Yeah, sure.
So it's certainly not a bad thing.
So this is the second year of the Walking Festival or third year?
Fifth.
Is it the fifth year?
2010.
Does it happen every year?
Yep, annually since 2010.
And you foresee it continuing into the future?
Funding, yes, as long as we can get the funding.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think the first time I actually heard the Walking Festival, I was like, what kind of festival is that? You could just go for a walk, but it has proven to be quite a popular festival. How many people do you anticipate do a lot of people come over from in town to do these walks, or is it mostly islanders, and it seems to have grown definitely from its presence and the papers and lots of people knowing about it. So is it something that's Is it growing every year? And
yep, it is growing every year. So, for example, last year we had 38 walks. This year we've got 46.
Right.
It's a festival that's loved by locals.
Yeah.
Because it's an opportunity. It's a kickstart to get out onto the walkways, to invite their friends over from town, and have a purpose.
Yeah.
Because they're themed walks. You know, it's not just getting out on the tracks. It's learning about, like I said, architecture, wine, olives, conservation. We are, we've got about 2,000 registrations this year.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the largest walking festival in the Southern Hemisphere, actually.
Oh, congratulations! Yeah, that's awesome. So, what are your plans for today? I was going to say, are you running around, but you should be walking around. Do you go on many of the walks yourself, or are you just, putting out fires? That's not a good thing to say for a walk, is it? Really?
Well, it's the nature of an event. You do need to put out fires, but it's unfortunately I'm on logistics for the next 9 days.
Oh, yes.
What I get to do is, in the lead up to the festival, I get to go on these walks and test them all out, and meet the landowners, and so that's lovely. I get sort of a preview of what's to come in the festival, so I kind of know what it's all about.
Sure, and the festival has become part. I mean, this month of November is a real kind of festival type month on Waiheke. We've now got this organisation which yourself has been part of called
November on Waiheke.
And walking festival is one, and the garden safari was another one, and I can't remember the third.
There's the olive festival, and then the Orca Trailblazer Marathon.
What's the Orca Trailblazing? Oh, a new marathon on the island.
It's an off-road extreme marathon that Sarah Gloyer from Synergy Studio is organising.
That's scary.
Completely. If you look at the track, it's frightening.
Really?
But it excites people.
Are there any frightening tracks on the walking festival?
No.
Nothing that you could accidentally fall off a cliff, or they're all fairly safe?
Well, I mean, you do sculpture on the golf track and you peer down by those Pahutukawa trees and you can take a tumble. You've got to be sensible. We have volunteers on all the walks. We do our best to minimise risk, but these are public tracks. And
Do you have a favourite one yourself after seeing all? How many of them are there? Different
46.
And your favourite?
Oh.
One or two?
I think Rotoroa is going to be an absolute highlight.
Yeah.
That will be a fantastic walk.
Yeah.
Man of War was the first year last year that we were able to access Man of War land.
Oh, okay.
And they've opened it up again this year, and the route's slightly different.
Yeah. Okay.
I always like to be able to stop down at the tasting room afterwards.
Yeah. Man of War one, okay, so we'll have to look for that one.
Graham Henry, Sir Peter Leach walk down around Park Point.
Okay.
That's really going to get you, it's going to get your heart up.
Yeah, those guys would be pretty fit, wouldn't they? I'd imagine.
Well, certainly Sir Graham Henry. Sir Peter Leach hasn't been as well, but he's going to join us for the barbecue at the end.
Yeah, well, I follow that guy on Twitter and Instagram, and if that's any indication of that man's sort of physical fitness, I mean, he's just constantly on the go. I've never seen anyone sort of seem to be in so many places at one time as Sir Peter Leach.
Mm.
He's everywhere.
He is.
With every celebrity you could possibly imagine. Well, that sounds great. And so I just want to reiterate how you can, if you're a little bit late to the game here on the Walking Festivals, you've got 9 days. It's just beginning today. So there's probably definitely time for people to book themselves into a walk, I would imagine.
Definitely.
And the website again?
www.waihekiwalkingfestival.org.
And also I saw your little caravan.
Yeah.
That's the cutest caravan.
I know. It's Gary Wilton's caravan, and he lets us borrow it every year.
I mean, I don't think anyone could actually camp in it.
You need to come and have a look.
It seems too short. Unless you were like a midget or something. There's maps and things in the caravan as well. And
that's right. So we're down at the library for the next couple of days.
Oh, awesome.
And, come down, grab a brochure, grab maps, have a chat.
Yep. You're still looking for any volunteers? I suppose it's a bit late for volunteers at this point, eh?
Yeah, we're pretty much sorted now. But if you're keen to be involved, you know, talk to me, give me an email or a call, and I'd love to have you involved next year.
Next year, I mean, just get out there and go on a walk. That could inspire lots of people to get involved for the next year. And it seems to be, like you said, it's growing every year, and just a wonderful event for the island, a kind of a unique event, I think. I haven't ever seen anything like this sort of anywhere else. And with our beautiful landscape, just, oh, I'd
win-win.
Get out there. Yeah, win-win, definitely. Great. Thank you, Denise, for coming in and telling us about the festival, and good luck for the next 9 days. Hope you get some good weather.
Fingers crossed for nice weather.
Yeah.
Thanks,
great.
Brent.
Okay. Thanks, Denise. That was Denise Whitford from the Waiheke Walking Festival.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
And now I'm going to talk to Warwick Broadhead about his upcoming, I don't even know, we'll find out what to call these things, the performances, I would imagine, of, they're called Monkey. Now, we're going to have to talk to Warwick a little bit about what a Monkey entails, but the interesting thing about Monkey is Warwick's going to perform Monkey, or the episodes of Monkey, in his house on Waiheke Island on the first Saturday of every month for the next approximately 2 years.
Two and a half years.
So this is quite a unique performance, and it's quite an interesting juxtaposition between, you know, the people we've just had in here before who are doing, you know, like a one-off show and artworks.
Yeah.
This is something completely different. It's going on over years, and people may dip in and dip out.
That's right.
So, now, I was just talking with Warwick slightly before we came on how a lot of New Zealanders who are perhaps my age might remember, which is, I won't give away my age, but may remember a little bit about, have been exposed to Monkey. You know, this is one of the things that piqued my interest about it, is in the 70s I used to come home from school and there was a television show, which was obviously a Chinese show called Monkey, and it was about this kind of supernatural, superpowered monkey character. I don't remember a lot about it, but it was kind of something that we did after school. We'd come home, you know, grab a couple of bickies and a cup of milk or something and sit down and watch Monkey. Now, and that's presumably, Warwick, is something based on the same stories. Can you give us a, you jump in here and tell us a little bit about how this is all panning out.
All right. Well, I've come to do Monkey because a spiritual teacher of mine recommended that I explore it.
Right.
Many years ago, about 30 years ago. And I tried it in various guises with community and on my own, and I couldn't get the hang of it. This year, I woke up in the middle of a terrible nightmare earlier on in the year.
Yeah.
And bathed in sweat.
Yeah.
And these days, with my nightmares, I'm trying not to run away from them.
Yep.
So I let them in and welcome them and see what they want to tell me.
Right.
So I was doing that with this one. And it was really frightening, but I did stay with it.
Yeah.
And it was, anyway, I came to a calm after it. I'm lying in bed. Everything's covered in sweat.
Yeah.
And after I'd been there for some time, maybe 10 minutes, 20 minutes, I thought I'll read Monkey. So I got up, it's 4 a.m, I read a chapter, the first chapter of Monkey.
Yeah.
And it spoke to me like it had never spoken to me before. Something clicked in the reading of it, and I understood a lot of things about it.
Yeah.
In that just one reading, one chapter. And then I lay there some more, and then I thought, I want to perform it.
Yep.
And I thought about how I wanted to perform it, and I wanted to perform it in a way that gave me joy.
Yeah.
I've done lots of performing, and mostly the emphasis has been on pleasing the audience.
Right.
But this one, the emphasis was to do with I have enjoyed myself, but this one was to do with definitely I must enjoy the process and not be stressed about the doing of the show.
Right.
So, yeah.
you say not be stressed about it, but it's a show that takes place in your house,
yes,
which I suppose has elements of comfort and elements of fear. I mean, you're comfortable there, but you're also letting a lot of people who you may or may not know into your house.
Yeah, that's right.
And also, yes, such a show, I mean, do you, is, you know, 2 years for a show.
Two and a half years.
You're not going to be planning it all out now. It's sort of evolve as you. And that's so you're comfortable with that.
I'm rehearsing that now. And what I'm rehearsing is the style of those each show. Okay. So there's a style I've got, which has evolved now. So I'm comfortable with the reading.
Yeah.
I'm not rushing the reading.
Yeah.
I'm luxuriating in
it. Right.
And there's phrases in it that's so beautiful. It's a translation from by a man called Arthur Daly. And this story is what the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
So monkey, there's a monkey
and
a pig and a horse.
Yeah.
They accompany a monk to go from China to India to get the sacred scriptures from the Buddha. That's the basis of the whole story.
Right.
Those animals have supernatural powers. Like monkey did, but the others do as well.
Yes.
But the monk is an ordinary human.
Oh, okay.
And what he has is he has prayer, and he's very devout, and he gets frightened. He's like, he represents ordinary human. And it's based on a real story of a monk who did go from China to India to get more scriptures about Buddhism because he felt it needed a bit of a lift in China.
Right. So this is we were talking earlier, this is a text from 700 BC, AD.
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 Yeah.
And so you've had quite a long relationship with this.
With it. And also I now understand why my teacher suggested it.
Right.
Because the same teacher, he recommended to me to perform, he didn't say do it, he just said try exploring The Hunting of the Snark by Lewis Carroll, which I did get to do that as well, and I started performing that, and I've done over 500 performances of that show in people's homes, mostly, in this country and around the world.
Right.
So, great suggestion. Anyway, when I'd pretty much done that.
Yeah.
I asked him, did he have another? I told him how wonderful it had been.
Yeah, yeah.
Did he have another idea? And he said try monkey. So it's taken me a long time to get to it.
So the book itself is you're sort of doing a chapter by chapter sort of?
A chapter each month.
Does it have an author? Does anyone know who wrote this thing?
Wing Ching.
Yeah.
Something like that. It's written by a Chinese man.
It's been incredibly sort of, that's an incredible longevity for this story, and it seems to have had popularity in different forms. Like I said, I was watching it as a kid, as a visual, as a sort of television representation. I mean, what do you think is the sort of enduring, what are the kind of really enduring qualities of this that made it appeal to you and appeal to, that's a long time.
Yes. Well, can I tell you that when at first the man, the priest, who went to get the scriptures, it took him 10 years.
Right.
To his whole journey, because walking.
Yeah.
Walk from China to India.
Yeah. And, that's right.
And then he gets back. When he leaves, nobody knows him. When he gets back, he's very celebrated.
Oh, okay.
He's hugely famous. He becomes hugely famous and more celebrated. And his stories of what happened to him in that 10 years become very celebrated. So over the years, over hundreds of years, it became
mythologized.
Thank you. It becomes mythologized.
Yes.
And exaggerated. I mean, that man didn't go with a monkey or a horse or a pig.
Yeah.
But the mythology is that he did.
Yeah.
And that's the story you saw on television.
Yes.
Yes. And so it's one of the, if not the most popular story in China today, today.
Yeah.
So it's still, everyone knows about it. It's called Monkey, it's called Monkey King, or it's called Journey to the West. It's got three titles.
So I've been looking on your website, which if people wish to have a little bit more of a background on how this is all going to pan out, you can go to warwickbroadhead.co.nz, and I'll put that up on the website as well later on in the week with the podcast of the show. But I was also intrigued with some of the people that are helping you with this performance. And maybe we can get a little bit of idea of what kind of character you're going to be playing. But it's interesting. You've got Stephen Hollis, who is described as a clown doctor and your rehearsal guide. And you've also got, and we'll find out what exactly entails, what constitutes being a clown doctor, in case there's anybody out there who might think of this as a career.
Am I laughing too loud? You get to handle the volume control.
And then Jonathan Baxter, who is an origami master, and he's devising paper props for you, which will presumably be used as part of your performance. Now, these aren't your traditional kind of roles that one might associate with the background of a theatrical performance, origami master and clown doctor.
I have to say, all through my life of doing our shows, I've asked people to help me.
Yeah.
And when I first started doing theatre, I didn't think I was an actor. It never occurred to me. I thought I was an artist. I've had no theatrical training, no formal training. So I thought I was an artist. So I knew a lot of the artists. And in those early shows, I'll do a bit of name dropping now, but Dick Frizzell, I don't know if you know that name. Well, he did quite a bit of help with my shows and made props and things.
Right.
Terry Stringer, also a sculptor now, a very famous sculptor in this country.
Yep.
He made a lot of props. So I was mixing with the artists.
Right.
Then people started telling me I was an actor. I've done a few little weekend courses and things.
Yeah.
But basically it was I wanted to show off.
Yep. Okay.
So I did.
Yeah.
And it's led me along this path.
Yeah.
I talked about my teacher.
Yes.
Well, I've had a few spiritual teachers, and one of them might have been that one who suggested this. I don't know. But one of them in the same family of teachers said, you've chosen the most difficult path.
Yes.
Meaning theatre. And that's true because the ego is plays a huge part in it.
Sure.
And does.
Still
and
does.
It's very, very challenging. However, the story of this is when Monkey and the pig and the horse and the monk do get to India, they're dead. They're out of their bodies. But we don't know they're dead. They're still in a form of some sort.
Yeah.
And they get out of their bodies. They get the scriptures from the Buddha himself, who's also dead, of course.
Yes.
And so they get them. They go back to China. They enter into their bodies again.
Yeah.
So it's all up to you to make what you will of it.
Right.
But to me, I'm interested in the teachings of Buddha. I'm not a Buddhist.
Yeah.
I found out a few years ago that the Buddha said, work it out yourself.
Right.
And then I stopped calling myself a Buddhist. I'm a Warwickist now.
Right. So you've got people helping you work it out.
I definitely have so many people, not only people, but plants and animals and insects, all helping me work it out.
And origami masters.
And he's a world master. He's recognized worldwide for his forms.
He'll be helping you with some props.
He's already made some of the props. Yes, yes, yes.
And the clown doctor?
The clown doctor is what I call my guide.
Right.
What you might call a director. But in my view, the director has the vision.
Yeah.
And I have that for what this show is.
Right, yeah.
But he comes to rehearsal.
Yeah.
And he sits there taking notes. And he gives me feedback on what's working, not working.
Yeah.
More of that, less of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so the logistics of the show are that, like we mentioned earlier, to be the first Saturday of every month until the conclusion of of this epic journey, I might add.
Yes, journey for me too.
It is going to be a journey for you, isn't it?
Yes.
And in your house, so you can fit quite a few people in the house?
I think about 50.
Yeah.
My house is one big room.
Yeah.
In some ways, based on the golden rectangle.
Right.
Yeah, so it's got, here we go again, but it's got sacred proportions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I know it's not Sunday, but I'm on about all that stuff.
That's okay.
And I want to tell you about this too before I forget. Yeah, can I do that?
Yes, let's do that.
Because you're looking at your watch. No, we're running out of time.
No, we're not. We've got 15 minutes.
All right.
I'll tell you. So before we do, I'll just say, people will come to your house, on this Saturday. Is it the evening?
It's an afternoon show at 3 o'clock.
And how will they kind of schedule them? How will they get tickets for this show? How are you arranging that?
If they go onto my website, that tells them how to do it.
Okay, so we'll mention that again, and I'll put it on the website. It's warwickbroadhead.co.nz, so they can order tickets. Now, one of the things I noticed on the website is that they can also use you're going to mail them physically directions to your house, which I thought was quite. Well, cute.
Yes.
So there will only be 50 spaces. And tomorrow you're actually kind of having a little introduction to Monkey. So what's happening tomorrow for you?
Well, tomorrow what's happening is a Monkey lunch.
Yes.
At Stefano's on the island, the pizza place.
Yes.
And Stephen is the man who runs that, although he's just sold it.
Oh.
Yeah, but anyway, he's still there for a month or two. And that is to raise money towards the show and also to help pay him some sort of fee, because all these people, the origami man, that are they're doing their work because they want to do it.
Yep.
But I haven't got any money to pay them.
Sure.
So I'm trying to raise some money for Stephen to give him a bit of a fee. Yeah, because he's a clown doctor. He's one of the few clowns I know that gets paid.
Yeah. So that's going to be tomorrow. That's Sunday the 16th at 12 p.m. It's the Monkey Show fundraiser. It's $30 per person.
Yes.
At Stefano's in Surfdale.
Yes.
And if anyone wants to call up to make a booking for that, it's 372-5309 for that. And so... Well, the first when's your first one's kicking off? Not in December, but in January.
Yes, January. Yes.
Do you know what the date of the first one?
Third.
Is? The third. So that's
first Saturday. Yeah.
First of the new year, and then it will go
at 3 o'clock.
At 3 o'clock every month. Now, I think that this is an opportunity to see something truly magnificent. Really, it sounds a fascinating project that I've never heard anything like it. Have you ever experienced anything?
No, I haven't, because alongside the story of Monkey, I tell episodes from my life.
Oh, I see.
And I don't plan them. They just pop out.
So it's kind of intertwined with this.
I mean, a couple of rehearsals ago, this is Here Comes the Sex Element.
Yeah.
But I was telling it within the story. It sort of fitted into part of the Monkey story. I told this very erotic and exotic sexual experience I had in Thailand.
Right.
Yeah, that was very powerful.
Yeah.
Powerful in lots and lots of ways.
So do these things come up to you in the moment? Or
they come in the moment.
So there's an element of unknown in each of these performances.
I'm a monkey as well in the Chinese year.
Right.
I'm a wood monkey in the year of the wood monkey, 1944.
And are you primarily going to be playing the character of Monkey in
this
thing?
Yes, I play him. And I do voices. I read it.
Yep.
I read the story, and I play a lot of the characters.
Yep.
And what happens actually is, I want to call you Brent. Can I call you Brent?
Yes, that's right. That is my name.
What happens is, I get to a point in the story, and the language is so extraordinary.
Yeah.
It's very extraordinary. It's not like our language, not like English spoken. It's a direct translation from the Chinese. So the language has a Chinese feel to it, although it's beautiful English.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I get to a phrase that's touched me, I'll rest on it.
Right.
So to me, it's not about getting the story told.
Yeah.
It is, of course, but it's not about doing it in a certain amount of time, this is the timeline.
Yeah.
I will rest and pause on it.
Yeah.
If I need a rest, I'll have a rest.
Yeah.
So one rehearsal, I was quite, I've just needed to lie down.
Yeah.
So I went into where the audience would be and I lay down for about 3 minutes or so. Yeah. And Stephen, my guide, he told me what he did when he saw me do that. He just closed his eyes and he also had a rest. Beautiful.
Right.
Very beautiful. This is wonderful.
So it's very sort of, it does cross over between, it's not a theatrical performance. You could hardly just say it's actually sort of a living, breathing,
Impromptu
kind of thing that's going to take place over this period.
Yeah.
And the story of Monkey may inspire or not what happens at the time.
That's right.
It sounds fascinating work, and I wish you all the best
in
pulling this thing off. And I highly encourage people on the island to get in behind this enterprise of yours.
Yes.
And, yes, I would and be a part of it, really.
I'd absolutely appreciate it. And they, if they want to be part of it, even in a more direct way, would be to look me up on the phone book and call me, because it will be helpful to have people receiving people.
Yes.
And a few things like that on
little
each
logistics
month.
Of the month.
Yeah.
Great. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Thank you for talking to me.
Wish you all the best in evolving this journey you're about to embark on over the next year and a half. And like I said, I'll put the information on how you can get in touch with Warwick online. Mm. And I think what we'll do as well, we spoke a little bit about this is we'll have Warwick come back on. Hopefully over the next couple of years, you know, and we'll
That'd
come on sort of regularly.
I could read a little bit of it.
We could explore a bit of Monkey ourselves.
Yes. And I could tell some of my own stories, a bit like I do in the show.
Yep.
So a little sort of flavour of the show.
I'd love that, yeah.
What you miss out on is the facial expressions.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, thank you, Warwick, for coming in. And
thank you. Thank you for having me here.
You're welcome. So you've been listening to Island Life. My name is Brent, and we've only got, 11:52, so we're pretty much done for another Saturday. I think we've got Sales, Wells and Whiskey coming up after me, or at least early this afternoon. We'll be back next Saturday with another Island Life for you, brought to you by the Village Butchery here up in Onaroa. And so I hope you have a lovely Saturday afternoon. Get out and explore some of the Waikiki Festival we spoke to. And so thank you for Dawn Jeffries for coming in from the Waikiki Waste Resource Trust. We had Denise Whitfield coming in talking about the Walking Festival. And then Richard Bull and Linda and Kim came in from the Artworks Theatre. And they're having a performance of... their show is next Friday, and just check their website, the Artworks website, I had the Artworks website up previously, but where are they? You can Google them, Artworks, to find out what's going on there. And yes, we'll catch you again next Saturday. Thank you very much. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Get me work.
Brett, just listening to you, I had this idea that I'd like to, on radio, bless people's ears.
We should
because
do that.
They're listening to you with their ears and double. I don't know what their eyes are doing. So I'm going to do a little, you know, because I'm a terribly religious person.
Let's do it. We've still got 5 minutes before.
All right. Well, I don't know if you know what religion means, do you? The word religion?
Actually, come to think of it, I don't think I do, really.
Well, it comes from the word ligio, ligament.
Oh.
So it's a joining up.
Well, that's an interesting
piece. A rejoining
right.
to our roots, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, this... I'm very religious. I think I'm joined to everything.
Yeah.
So I'm joined to your radio program and to your listeners right now, and I'm going to give them this blessing whether they want it or not.
Let's do it.
So the blessing is, may your ears be blessed.
Yes.
May they hear illustrious things. May they serve you well. May you be well. May you be happy. May your ears tingle.
Tingle. Thanks, Warwick. And we will get back in touch with Warwick for more lovely radio blessings in the future.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by the Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onaroa.